Amen. I just want to start off tonight by saying thank you to letting me come up here and speak a little tonight. We have a great church staff and Kim and Michael and Jeff that have always encouraged me and are allowing me to branch out and to share with y'all tonight. So thank y'all, all of y'all that are here tonight for this opportunity. Our scripture tonight comes from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 10. Let us hear the reading of God's Word. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that He has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you, not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. Just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols, to serve a living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father God, open our hearts that we may hear your words tonight, that we may leave here closer to you and ready to serve you in all that we do. Amen. I have a lot of great memories from when I was growing up. Many, many ones. And some stick out more than others. And tonight I want to start off telling you about one of my favorite memories. And it's not some great, wonderful family vacation to the beach or to Disney World. It's not that game-saving score I made when I played goalie in high school. This memory comes from when I was in fifth grade. At the church we were attending at the time, there was a program called UMCF, which is United Methodist Children's Fellowship. And every Wednesday after school, we would go to our church's CLC, all the third, fourth, and fifth graders. When we got there, we'd have a wonderful lesson and devotion that my dad would do. And then even better, the mothers would prepare us these wonderful snacks, homemade brownies with chocolate and cookies and cakes made from scratch. But it's not those two things that I'll remember the most out of my UMCF days. It is what came after that. After we ate and all the food had settled, we went outside and we played football. That's what we did. We went outside, guys and girls, there were about 50 of us, and we played football. Now this was a big deal to a fifth grader, I'll be honest. This was the highlight of my week. And what was an even bigger deal was being the first one chosen to be on the football team. We'd have our regular captains, and the biggest thing you could do was being picked first to be on the football team. And when that happened, you'd jump, you'd hoot, you'd holler, everybody'd slap you on the back and say, "Congratulations, you're awesome." That's what we did. And being picked and chosen or being wanted like that was something that has stuck with me. It was real important back then, and it's still real important now. Paul, in his letter to the Thessalonians, he says that we are chosen by God. So the first question that I want to ask with that is, where's the excitement? Where's the passion at being picked first? We're picked above all other creation. What happened to the thrill that we show as children? All of us, myself being on the top of this list, remember that, you know, we're chosen by God. We're the first ones to pull that card out of our pocket and wave it around going, yep, we're God's people. But I think that a lot of the time we really forget what that means. So tonight, I want to talk about the who, what, and why. To see if I can reach and maybe get a little bit better understanding of what it really means to be picked, to be chosen by God. So I want to look at first, who are the chosen people? If you ask the Jews, they're going to say, well, the Jews are the chosen people. If you ask the Muslims are going to say, we're the chosen people. They're the chosen people. If you ask some, they'll say the Christians. They're the chosen people. But who really is the chosen people? Genesis 1 says, God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created them. God blessed them and said it was very good. So to answer that question, we're all the chosen people. Back when we played the football at UMCF, I said it was great to be chosen first. But looking back on it now, it's everybody got chosen. Everybody got to play, not just me who was the dominant player, you know. Everybody got to play. We're all chosen. I like the song that plays every Sunday after the children's go out. Jesus loves me. Red and yellow, black and white, we are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Not just these children, not just all the children. Not the people that sit in church on Sundays. Not the person that are, no offense, not just y'all who are sitting in the pews tonight. Not just my youth that are up in the youth room. Not just the people that decided, hey, we want to sit at home and we'll pray later. Everybody is chosen. And I think that we really sometimes forget that, because it doesn't matter what we've done or who we are. We're all chosen. The difference really is some of us just don't realize it yet. We just don't understand it yet. And that brings me to my next question. What? What does it mean to understand or to realize that we are chosen? In verses 4 and 5, Paul writes, "For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that He has chosen you because," I love the word because "our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction." He's saying basically that we come to understand when we accept Jesus into our hearts, when we live our lives and let the Holy Spirit guide us in what we do. Many times in our life, it's confusing to be a Christian. Those of you that have been Christians longer than me know that more than anybody. It's hard. We face difficult problems and questions, and we do not have the knowledge to make it through it on our own. But God knows this. And He has provided us with resources. He gave us scriptures to live by and to take into our hearts. He provided us with the Holy Spirit to guide us. He gave us other chosen to support us around us. We have such a great church family here in this church that are so supportive. Without these, and without Jesus, we can't even begin to realize what it means to be chosen. But being chosen doesn't stop there. Being chosen doesn't stop with accepting Jesus and the Holy Spirit in your lives. The other day, I was having a conversation with some of my friends. And one of them asked, what does it mean to be a Christian? Simple question, right? And we can all answer that. Well, the answer that we got back was, well, you believe in Jesus Christ, that He was the Son of God, that He died and rose again to forgive us of our sins, and that through Him we can be reconciled with God, and that the Holy Spirit will come into our lives. Simple, right? Well, my friend asked the obvious question to them after that. They said, well, if that's it, when you become saved, why doesn't God take you right then and there and take you to heaven? If what it means to be a Christian, to be a chosen of God, is accepting Jesus Christ and that's it, why are we still here? In our SOTCA group, our Sons of the King Senior High Boys study group on Wednesday nights, we are looking at the book called Wild at Heart. And one of the passages in that book really hit home to me as I was thinking about what I wanted to do for tonight. It says, most men think they are simply here on earth to kill time, and it is killing them. But the truth is precisely the opposite. Is it enough to be chosen and understand? Is it enough for us to have our quiet time each night or each morning and come to church once or twice a week? Is that enough? Is that all there is to being chosen? Now, those things are good and wonderful things, and I hope each of you practice quiet time, and I hope to see you all every Sunday morning this coming year. Those are good things to have. But it doesn't end there. If a person is chosen, it means they're chosen to do something, right? Since we are God's chosen people, it means God has a purpose for us. I'm not going to get 10 people and say, line them up on a wall and look at them and say, I choose number 3. Then they're going to look at me and say, okay, what do you want me to do? Oh, nothing, nothing. I just wanted to choose you. That doesn't make any sense. We are chosen, which means we have a purpose. We are not chosen to sit on the sidelines and wait for Jesus to come again. If that was the case, we could just sit back and push everything aside and say, life is easy. We don't have to worry about it. Jesus will take care of that when He comes back. That's not how it works. Paul writes in his letter that because they were chosen and filled with the Spirit and the Word, they became an example to the world. They turned from idols to serve a living God and wait on Jesus Christ. Notice, he doesn't say, because they were chosen, they just lived as chosen. He says they lived as an example. Paul does not say, because they were chosen, they waited on Jesus Christ. He says, because they were chosen, they served God while they waited on Jesus. If you even look back to Genesis, to the very first story, God says to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. He's not talking just about having kids. He's talking about bearing fruit for Him, sharing Him, living for God. Did y'all know that every Sunday we pray for this very thing during church? Every Sunday. I don't know if any of you realize it, but you say these words. You pray it every Sunday. We pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We don't pray, Thy kingdom be in heaven and we'll get there when we die. We pray, Thy kingdom come on earth now. We're chosen by God. And thus we have a purpose in our lives. We're called to live and serve Him, to bring His kingdom to this earth today. Not to sit back and wait on Jesus to come, but to live for Him every day, each moment. Everyone alive, everyone that's ever been alive, is a child of God. He loves each one of them. And He would like nothing more for them to come closer to Him. Everyone has that potential, that heart and that mind. They're made in the image of God to come closer to Him and to love Him and to accept Jesus. Those are facts. But too often we stop there. Every person has a purpose as well. We have a purpose to accomplish during our time on this earth. Our purpose is to live for Him, letting the Holy Spirit guide you. Our purpose is to be an example to others in everything that we do. We are to bring His kingdom, His power to this world today, not tomorrow. Not the next day, not the next generation. Today, when we leave here. So to end, I want to ask y'all a question that I ask myself. And I want you to think about this. How are each of you fulfilling God's purpose in your life? How, when you leave here tonight, when you go to your jobs, when you go back to school, how are you fulfilling God's purpose in your life? Let us pray. Mighty God, give us your strength and your courage. Give us the power to live the way you would have us live, to go out and be an example to those that we meet. Lord, let us share the life and the love that you have given to us, to your chosen people, to others, and bring them to know you better. Lord, we do not have the strength to do this on our own. Give us that strength. Give us that power and that knowledge. Lord, with you all things are possible. So let us live and serve you in everything that we do. And we ask this in Jesus' name, who came, who lived, and who died and rose again for our sake, that we may serve you. Amen.